Welcome to our virtual service. Let us lift this time into the Lord's hands together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your blessings you provided for us this week. We thank you for your provisions and protections that sustained us, and also love and hope that united our families and our community. We're here together because of your faithfulness to your promises to us, and we're here to worship you and make your name great among us. Among the community at large, you have placed us, and among the nations where you reign. Please bless us with your presence. Speak to us through your servant, Pastor David, as he preaches the messages on the importance of biblical lament from Psalm 77. Please bless the worship songs prepared by Alan, Hannah, and John. As we sing the songs together, may the words be the confession of our hearts and a pleasing sacrifice to you. Please hear our prayers and answer us according to your perfect will. As you speak to us throughout our service to you, may you bring nourishment to our thirsty spirit and hope to our troubled souls. We thank you for who you are and what you mean to us each day. We pray all this in your Son's most precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. I hope all of you are well and keeping healthy. Before we worship the Lord in singing, I would like to share a verse with all of you from the book of Psalm, chapter 42, verse 11. It goes, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." With the recent pandemic and all the scary things happening around us, we sometimes can't help but feel anxious and afraid. A lot of things are uncertain, and we don't know when this will end. But in his word, God reminds us of his promises, that we are never alone as we go through the dark valleys, that he is our refuge, our strength, and our ever-present help in trouble, and that his plans for our lives are not to harm us, but to give us a hope and a future. Aren't these promises enough for us to continue to praise him during this difficult time?
And to continue what Hannah is saying, we are reminded that in these situations, we as Christians, as brothers and sisters, become the aroma in this world. Like when you're brewing coffee at any time of the day now, the people who hold Jesus light, in spite of the problems or situations we encounter in this world, we don't show fake smiles and fake happiness, because we have in our hearts true joy. On the brighter side of things, the world is healing with lesser pollution. We now have a lot of times to get to know our family better. With what a lot of us have mentioned before this pandemic, that we are so busy with work, school, and stuff, and we seem to have less time with our families. Just want to leave you with Job 23:10. "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold." Through this pandemic, or even after this pandemic, are we becoming bitter or better? Let us worship together with the song, "Blessed Be Your Name" and "Amazing Grace." Praise and worship God however you want. Sit, stand, raise your hands, no need to be shy, I promise. No one else can see you other than your family.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Today's scripture is found in Psalm 77. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart
meditated, and my spirit asked, "Will the Lord reject forever? Will He never show His favor again? Has His unfailing love vanished forever? Has His promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has He, in anger, withheld His compassion?" Then I thought, "To this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out His right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember Your miracles of long ago. I will consider all Your works and meditate on all Your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display Your power among the peoples. With Your mighty arm, You redeemed Your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw You, God, the waters saw You and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters. Though your footprints were not seen, You led Your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, friends. Starting this morning, we will begin a short series on biblical lament. And of course, over the next few weeks, we will all learn what this is all about, and God willing, recover this lost language in our everyday life. So before we pray, before we start, let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we have this privilege of coming before You in Your word this morning. Through Your Holy Spirit, please speak to all of us where we're at. Speak to me and through me, and let Your people hear Your voice clearly and respond accordingly. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. According to Michael Card, who is a Bible teacher, author, music writer, he says that lament is a lost language. It's a lost language. It's lost because we all started our life very familiar with it. Let me just read a little bit more of what Michael Card wrote. "All our journeys, your and mine, began with lament, did they not? Before we uttered our first breathless cries, our mothers lamented in pain, giving birth to us. And we were all ushered into a world in which the first sounds we heard were inevitably weeping, weeping for pain and weeping for joy, because these two are often linked more closely than we can imagine." So we ask ourselves, if this is how we started our life with lament, why is this now a lost language? Well, let me give you another quote here. Larry Crabb, who's a Christian Bible teacher and psychologist, writes, "Life is unspeakably sad until you recover the lost language of lament. Then it becomes speakably sad, and an authentic journey into God's presence begins." Life is sad, and if we cannot verbalize it, if we cannot speak it, then there's no way for us to keep growing in our spiritual walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Larry Crabb is saying.
And as we look around us, and even if we are honest with ourselves, many of us are hurting and suffering. But sad to say, we usually go through this suffering, this pain, silently. And the church culture is such that if we're not careful, it actually encourages people to keep doing this, to suffer silently. Have you heard people say, "Don't cry, cheer up. Don't you know that all things will work together for the good of those who love God?" Things like this, or maybe we somehow got it into our heads that good Christians don't cry, because if you trust God and you have faith in Him, you just don't cry. You just have to look at things very positively. Have faith in God. Things will turn for the better. Just wait and see. Of course, a lot of this is done unknowingly, but the end result is that there are many people who are hurting silently in our churches. There are many people who are suffering silently. Let's ask ourselves, why are we so uncomfortable and embarrassed when someone's crying, when someone's in tears? We try to kind of comfort them so that they will stop crying, perhaps. Why are we trying so hard to pursue happiness in life? And why do we work so hard to avoid suffering at all costs, it seems? Why are we uneasy in the presence of sorrow? When someone is really heartbroken, it's not very comfortable for just to sit with them and watch them sigh and moan and maybe even pour out in their hearts. And this is why we say we are very unfamiliar now with the language of lament. Why? To think about these questions, I want to mention the good news is there is an antidote to suffering in silence. And what is this antidote? Well, this antidote is to learn to express our anger, our frustration, our fears, our anxiety, our grief, and our regrets to God through prayer. And this is what I mean by recovering the lost language of biblical lament. Biblical lament is not just crying out loud or complaining. Biblical lament asks two very, very important questions. It asks, "Where are you, God? Where are you?" And it also asks, "If you love me, Lord, why is this thing happening to me?" That's biblical lament, asking these two questions. So it's more than just crying and complaining. And quoting another pastor author, it says, "Lament is the honest cry of a hurting heart wrestling with the paradox of pain." A hurting heart wrestling with the paradox of pain. And we're going to look at two Psalms in this series to help us not only understand lament, but to help us recover this lost language. As you know, the book of Psalms contains 150 psalms, prayer or songs, poetry. And this is the songbook, prayer book of God's covenant people. They use it to worship, to sing, to praise God, and to grieve and to cry. And the book of Psalms, these 150 psalms, cover the entire range of human emotions. There are different types of psalms, and I'll just highlight a few. We are quite familiar with psalms of praise, thanksgiving, and trust. But there are also psalms of lament. And these lament could be corporate, community, or individual. For example, Psalm 22 is an individual lament where our Lord quoted it on the cross, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the Psalms of Lament are repentance-oriented. For example, Psalm 51, when David confesses his sin of adultery to God. Or some are imprecatory. Now, that's a big word if you want to impress someone. Imprecatory. It basically means you are angrily asking God to send curses upon your enemy or your persecutors. Those are also found in the book of Psalms. And no wonder John Calvin says the Psalms are the mirror of our soul. So let's concentrate on Psalms of Lament. This category of Psalms makes up more than one-third of the book of Psalms. To be precise, 58 out of the 150 Psalms are Psalms of Lament. And if we break them down, 42 are individual laments and 16 corporate laments. That means this category of Psalms makes up the largest part of the book of Psalms. What does that tell us? That tells that God's people are to keep on singing and to keep on praying even as they're in pain. And that's why we have so many Psalms of Laments in this hymn book, songbook of God's people. Let's ask a few questions to see how this is relevant to us today. How often do God's people hurt? Once in a while? Once in a while, or is it very often? And how often, if God's people hurt very often, how often do we sing laments at church? When was the last time you remember us singing a song in a minor key? That sounds very sad. And how often do we pray laments? This morning we'll look at Psalm 77, which is an example of a lament. And so this psalm, and most of the Bible verses here will be in New Living Translation, just to give us a better flavor of it. This psalm starts with, I cry out to God. Yes, I shout. So this person is not keeping silent for sure, right? Lament is crying out to God about our pain. And as we keep reading, you'll see this person is praying to God. He says, oh, that God would listen to me. I prayed, and with my hands lifted towards heaven. That's his position of prayer. Crying out to God when in pain is much better than being silent or giving God the silent treatment. But I want to mention that it takes great faith. It takes bold faith in God to pray a lament when we are hurting and in pain. But why are most of us afraid to do this? Why? Is it, are we worried about being too open before God? Are we, what are we afraid of? As you think about that, I will continue. The psalmist prayed, and as he prayed, he says, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God, and I moan. You don't let me sleep. I'm too something even to pray. So this tells us that even as he is praying to God, there is no resolution to his problem. The pain and the tension very often will continue on even as we pour out our hearts to God and share with God our pain. However, we are not to stop praying because God has not resolved our problem. We are to keep on praying. And that's where the title of this sermon comes. Even when prayer doesn't seem to work, keep on praying. Why? We keep on praying because we believe that one day God will answer and restore what we've lost. That's the faith, the strong faith, the bold faith I'm talking about. And as we keep doing this, as we keep lamenting before the Lord, not giving him the silent treatment, it will lead to thinking and reflecting on the good old days. And this is how New Living Translations translated. He said, I think of the good old days long since ended, when my nights were filled with joy, joyful songs. I search my soul and ponder the difference now. So the psalmist now starts, as he continues to pour out his heart to the Lord, he starts thinking about the good old days. And this painful searching makes him, and if we do this, it will make us blurt out six very blunt questions. And these are found in verse 7 to 9. Sixth question. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again be kind to me? Is his unfailing love gone forever? Have his promises permanently failed? And has God forgotten to be gracious? Has God slammed the door on his compassion? Look how honest this psalmist is. He's just asking these rhetorical questions. He's not expecting anyone to answer, but he is expressing what's really in his heart. For you see, his intense pain stirs up such powerful emotions, just like it will in us, that those are the things that are in his mind. And so when we're under intense pain and suffering, it will stir up such powerful emotions. Unfortunately, these emotions will not be based on truth. They nonetheless will feel very true, meaning these emotions are very real. They're very powerful. They can't just be talked away. They can't just, you know, be prayed away. They're not based on truth, but they feel very, very real. They feel very, very true. And this is why it takes bold faith to honestly ask God about what we are feeling in our soul, despite what we already know in our head. And so this is the tension that's going to happen as we do this, as we learn to lament. So here are those six questions again that the psalmist asks from verse 7 to 9. And in verse 10, he concludes. He says, and I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. This is his conclusion. This is how he was feeling. And if I use the paraphrase of Eugene Peterson from The Message, he says, just my luck, I said. The high God goes out of business just the moment I needed him. God has gone out of business just when I needed him. That's the conclusion. See how honest this psalmist was? So this is part of what lament is. We are not to be silent. We are not to give God the silent treatment. We are to be brave because we have faith that God remains true to himself and to his word. And we pour out our hearts to God, even though sometimes nothing happens. Nothing happens for a while. But if we keep lamenting, at some point, our lamenting will turn us around. And let me, at this point, quote another pastor, author, Mark Vrogel, who writes, lament is a prayer that leads us through personal sorrow and difficult questions into truth that anchors our soul. All right? So as we keep praying this type of prayer before God, as we keep crying out to God and being honest, that will lead us through our personal sorrow, our difficult questions, into truth. Not it will solve our problems, but it will lead us into truth that will anchor our soul. And so if we continue with this psalm, verse 11 to 12, the psalmist now says, but then, remember verse 10 was that very sad and pessimistic conclusion, that God is basically out of business or he's ignored me. But here is the turnaround. Verse 11, but then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts, and I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. So what's happening to the psalmist here? Interestingly, this is the halfway point. Verse 10 is the halfway point. And now in verse 11, there comes a turning point where the psalmist is recalling what he knows to be true and where he is remembering what he knows to be true. And similarly, in our own lives, as we learn to lament, there will come a point in time where we need to recall what we know to be true. There will come a point in time where we need to remember what we know to be true, not just let our feelings overwhelm and control us. And what we're talking about here is historical facts, what happened before, right? Not fairy tales, but historical facts, and what God has done in the past. Well, let's ask that question. What has God done in the past? Well, the psalmist says, "Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders." And then he listed what God has done in the past. "You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeem your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph." So now he's rehearsing the history of his people. And he's saying that, "God, you have demonstrated your awesome power among the other nations for our ancestors, right? You redeemed or you saved your people." That's what God has done in the past. And interestingly, as he starts doing that, the focus shift from what God has done to who God is like, from the deeds of God to the character of God. And as the psalmist begins to do that, he asks one more rhetorical question. He asks, "Is there any God as mighty as you?" Is there any God as mighty as you? As he recalls and remembers all the mighty acts of God, he asks this question. You see how this question is so different from the previous six questions. Very different. So you notice that from honest, blunt questions, he is now becoming confident in God again. "Is there any God as strong, as mighty as you, as I think about what you have done in the past?" And dear friends, this is what makes lament different from simply complaining or crying. And because our God is full of mercy and grace, as we lament before him, he will bring us to this point, just like he did for the psalmist. Biblical lament is possible only if we believe that God is sovereign, unchanging, loving, and good. Let me say that again. It's only possible to keep crying out and praying before God, being honest, when nothing seems to change, only if we believe that God is sovereign, he does not change, he is loving and good. And this is why when we review the history, we will realize that if God was like that before, nothing has changed, then he is still like this today, right? And so this belief creates tremendous tension as we do this. It will create tremendous tension when we face the painful and perplexing circumstances that are in our lives. If we hang on to this belief when we're going through painful and perplexing experiences. For you see, to learn how to lament is to learn how to live in this tension between the realities of a hard life and God's unchanging goodness. That tension will always be there as we lament. Learning lament is learning to redirect our focus from my hopeless situation to God's hopeful future for me. Learning to lament is anchoring ourselves to what's true, even as we are still in pain, even as these powerful emotions seems like they're going to sweep us away like a mighty tsunami, we are anchoring ourselves to what we know is true. And it's learning to avoid aimless or selfish grief. Now, when we lose something very precious to us, we need to grieve. We need to take the time. But if we learn the lost language of lament, we will not just be aimlessly grieving or selfishly grieving, where we could be grieving for a long time but getting nowhere. All right? So this is what lament will do. It will guide us so that in our grief, we are not just aimlessly and selfishly roaming around. Psalm 77 concludes with a defining moment in the redemptive history of God's people, when God saved his people with such a mighty display of his power, and also thus proving his faithfulness and his unchanging love to his people. And we read about this in the last part of Psalm 77. When the Red Sea saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. Your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. You led your people along that road like a flock of sheep, with Moses and Aaron as their shepherds. I know this is a very familiar story, a very familiar event to all of us, but I think it's good for us to review this crossing of the Red Sea, and we're going to do this through a very short video clip from Prince of Egypt. So it's just under 3 minutes. So let's kind of refresh our memory, and hopefully you'll enjoy this mighty demonstration of who God is as he saved his people from the Egyptians.
Shall do my wonders.
As we wrap up our journey through Psalm 77, let's ask ourselves, what happened in this concluding part of the psalm? What happened to the psalmist? Well, very simply, the psalmist at the end anchored his hurting heart to the Exodus event. He anchored his soul to this event, which was the greatest redemptive event in God's relationship with his people. As he thought back, as he recalled, he remembered what God did for his ancestors, for his people. And so he chose to anchor his soul to this. This historical defining moment now becomes the psalmist's understanding of who God is. A powerful, faithful, loving God who keeps his promise to save his people. All right, so that was for the psalmist many thousand years ago. As we conclude this morning, let me ask all of us here, what is your Exodus event? When there's pain and hurt in your life, what's going to be my Exodus event? Well, if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, we should have the same Exodus event, and that's Jesus Christ dying for your sin and my sin on the cross. That's the greatest redemptive act that God did for his people, right? That's God went all the way, pulled out all the stops to once and for all demonstrate how much he loves us and how much he cares for us and how much he will keep all the promises that he made to us. And of course, we also know that that's not the end. The death led to the resurrection, showing God's awesome mighty power over sin and death and Satan. So the cross where Jesus died for you and me is the Exodus event we need to anchor our souls to when we are undergoing suffering and pain. Because this cross reminds us that God has already proven himself to be for us and not against us. And so as we conclude, I'd like us, if you can, to read together. If you're doing this over Zoom, I guess we still have to go mute, but you can read where you are at. Let's read it together. If God is for us, who can be against us? God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. That, dear friends, is our Exodus event that we need to anchor our souls to when going through suffering and pain. For on the cross, you see, God suffers for us. On the cross, God suffers with us. Which brings me to this quote by Eugene Peterson. It says, "The biblical revelation neither explains nor eliminates suffering. It shows rather God entering into the life of suffering humanity, accepting and sharing their suffering." And so as we conclude this morning, we want to review by looking at how Psalm 77 begins. This is a lament, right? It begins with the psalmist crying out to God for help. So I cried out to God for help, and I would not be comforted. How does this psalm end? Well, how it ends is, "Your ways, O God, are holy." What God is as great as our God? This is verse 13. So you see, lament will guide us through a path as we go through the valley of the shadow of death. And in the end, by God's grace and mercy, we will end up praising God. But sometimes this might take a while. But this is where this path of lament will lead us to if we take it and persist in it. It leads us through our brokenness and disappointments to a renewed trust in God, all because of his mercy and grace. So you see, dear friends, lament is not the opposite of praise. Lament leads us into praise. So here are some summary questions now, right? What have we learned as we look at this lost language of lament and look at an example through Psalm 77? Well, the first thing is we must recover and relearn this lost language of lament. The second thing is we learn that lament is a prayer prayed in pain that will lead us to praise and trust God. That process might take a long time, but it will guide us through if we persist and we continue to have faith in God and continue to lament. And the Psalms, especially the Psalms of Lament, will teach and guide us in this journey if we want to take this journey. So to lament is, in a short form, is to turn to God in prayer. It is to pray our complaints, our questions, to pour out our frustrations before God as we pray. And then we remember and recall God's previous works in our lives, in the history of even our nation, of his people. And then finally, we renew. Oh, before that, in most of the laments, then there's a part where we make a request for God to do something about our situation. This part is not in Psalm 77, but if you look at other laments, it'll be there. And then finally, we express our renewed trust and praise in God. So this is what the Psalms will teach us about how to recover, how to relearn this lost language of lament. So in short form, the elements of biblical lament: turn to God, complain to him, ask him for help, and renew our trust in him. So some final questions as we end. Why does it take a strong faith to lament? I trust that you can answer that now. And now let's think back on God's faithfulness in your life, in the life of your family, in the life of this church. Where has God proven himself to be trustworthy? What portions of Scripture do you use to anchor yourself to God's character, to who God is, when you're going through pain and suffering? Do you have an anchor, or do you just get swept away by those powerful, powerful emotions, which are very, very real too? But do you need to know portions of Scripture that you can anchor yourself in when those things are happening? Final question, would you make time to talk to God about what's in your soul, especially if you're hurting? And if you say yes, this week, I encourage you to make time to talk to God about what's in your soul. Tell him your pain, your problem. Share your difficult questions with him, just like the psalmist did. Six blunt questions, right? Affirm your trust in him and ask him to keep your faith in him strong as you go through this suffering and this pain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that in the hymn book, in the prayer book for your people, the biggest section is the section of laments, because you know that life is not free from pain and suffering, and you want us to keep on singing to you, to keep on praying to you, especially when we are almost overwhelmed by the powerful emotions that comes from the hurts and the pain and the perplexing circumstance of our lives. So, Lord, I pray that as we go through this series, as we continue to deal with the COVID pandemic and all the effects of it, we pray that you would show us how important it is that we relearn and recover this lost language of lament. And as we do this, we thank you because you will guide us to a much better place. We don't know when, but we need that faith that one day you would answer our prayer. So, Lord, for those especially right now going through pain and suffering, we lift them before you. You know who we are. And so, Lord, minister to us and give us the faith to begin to do this lamenting before you. And once again, to be reminded of how faithful you have been and to anchor our souls to the facts found in the Bible, to the truths found in the Bible, and hence start our process of recovering from what's happening in our lives. Thank you again that you want us to be in better shape, to trust you and to allow you to bring us to that better place. Thank you. We pray all this thing in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you for joining us at our English Online Worship Service this day, Sunday, May the 17th. Last Sunday, during our Mother's Day service, we had 69 devices who joined us at the Zoom worship room. Means there's close to 100 of us worshiping together. Praise the Lord for that. And so I'd like to encourage you to continue to maintain the habit of setting aside a specific time each Sunday to worship the Lord, first together as a household or family, and also to join us in the Zoom worship room starting at 10:30. That way, your whole family will be able to worship with other families, other brothers and sisters, at 10:45 when the service will begin. And then we can have fellowship afterwards, after the service, in our virtual fellowship hall, minus the refreshments, of course. I also need to thank many brothers and sisters who have participated and contributed to our online worship service during the past 2 months or so since we stopped meeting together. For example, last Sunday we thanked Dylan, Lana, Cassie, and Theo for leading us in worship. We thank Samson Lee, as well as the grade 11 and 12 high school, the grade 11 and 12 Sunday school students and their leaders for the tributes to Mom. That made our time together so meaningful, and I learned that the Kleenex supply also went down because of that service. Of course, we need to thank this week Jan, Alan, and Hannah for leading us in worship and praise, and Daphne Lee, who has been leading us in worship since we started this online worship service. There's someone, you won't see him on the video, but we want to thank Robert Ngan for being our one-man video recording, technical, audio, whatever you need, post-record editing powerhouse these last few weeks, and also with Ricardo providing support whenever needed. If there's someone out there who would like to do this and learn how to do this, please let myself or Robert know. Training will be provided. What would be required is an hour and a half to two for the actual recording, and then a few hours to get everything ready afterwards to get it ready for uploading. All right. So let us know if you'd like to serve our church family that way. Now, this is now almost middle of May. In less than 2 months' time, there is something very exciting that's going to happen for our children, and that's VBS. And so just watch this short video clip from Pastor Arlene to find out what this is all about.
Hi everyone, Pastor Arlene here. I'm so glad you can be here today. And by here I mean in front of your Zoom device for this online VBS. The Victory VBS is taking place on these dates. Register for Camp 1 or Camp 2, or sign up to be a volunteer by emailing me at fec.children@gmail.com. We hope to see you there.
I also want to thank everyone for your faithful giving as part of your worship of our Lord since March. Your sacrificial giving allows our various ministries to continue, albeit in different ways, as well as for all our staff to continue working. Actually, when we think about worship, what comes immediately to our mind are the music and songs we sing together, as well as the Sunday message. Yet there is much more to worship than the music and the message. Two of the most important elements of worship are our prayers and our giving. You see, when we give back to God, we are expressing our trust in Him for His provision for us. And when we pray over our offerings to God, We are asking him to bless that which we have given to him and to use it for his glory and purposes. So why don't we do this right now by thanking the Lord for your generosity and asking him to bless what we give to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the giver of all good things, and your word makes it very clear that every good and perfect gift comes from you. We thank you that despite our church building being closed due to the pandemic, your children continue to give faithfully and sacrificially for the past 2 months. Whether it's dropped off at church, mailed, or through online giving, we ask that you accept these gifts and use them for your glory. Just as you multiplied the offering of fish and loaves that were freely given for others, we pray that you would also multiply these, our humble offerings to you, and accomplish with them more than we could ask or imagine. Remind us that you desire that we give freely and not from compulsion. For actually, there's nothing we could give that matches the greatest gift you've given us, your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, which guides us daily. Heavenly Father, all we have is yours, and we ask that you would use us and all that we have as you desire. And now, please guide us through your Holy Spirit as we go through this new week. For we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we sing the song of doxology, I need to mention to you that I've been asking you to stand all this time. And Pastor Arlene reminded me last week that she needed to readjust the camera angle. So I don't want you to do that. So let's just sing the song of doxology together. Pastor David is on piano, as you can see. That's the reason why he's not giving benediction every Sunday. Let's sing the songs of doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen.
Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you throughout the week. We'll see you next time.